You know what sounds beautiful? Minnesota. You know what else is beautiful? Knowing that the lottery has generated billions of dollars for our state. Money that has gone to help protect wildlife and habitat and improve our air and water quality. At the Minnesota Lottery, we're playing our part. You can too. Just say, I'm in.
Gobble, gobble. My turkey calls. They're sitting out in the outpost. I meant to have them with me. It is turkey hunting season, and we've got a story for the books this year. Hey there, Bill Shirk, the man about the woods. Welcome to the Minnesota Bound podcast. The stories behind the stories. And we are just out of the woods after quite a hunt this year. Today's episode is presented by Kinetico Water Treatment Systems. You know, my family uses Kinetico. Yours should too. Also, a big welcome to our newest sponsor, Voyager Saunas. Thank you, guys. Great to have you along. Also, Oreo and Ritz Crackers. Also, the Minnesota DNR, the Minnesota Propane Association, Caldwell Banker Realtor Heather Womack, and the Minnesota Lottery. All right, it's no secret. I am a turkey hunting junkie, and my sons, Brady and Bennett, are 12 and 10 years old, and they are starting to get on board with my little bit of spring passion. And it's funny because I was sitting on the hockey bench talking to my good friend, Chad Gerlach. Our kids play hockey together, and Chad chuckled and said, I didn't know you were a turkey guy. I'm a turkey guy too. We should turn this into a trip. And that's kind of how this story starts. Chad, what's going on?
Hello, Bill. How are you doing? What's going on is we got a great story surrounding our turkey adventure this year.
So you and I do a little brainstorming. We actually were going to do this 1 year ago, and then COVID hit and screwed everything up. So we were able to get it back on the books for this April, and you were nice enough to open up the family farm. A place very near and dear to your heart. And I get it now. What a place.
Yeah, it's been dear, near and dear to my heart ever since, you know, day I was born, right? Family farm. It's been the family for generations now. Grandfather, father, and now we are up there as much as we possibly can get up there. It's a fantastic place to go to. Revive your soul, if you will.
Yeah. So we both have 12-year-old boys, and yep, they are getting ready to turkey hunt and really get into it. Again, we meant to do this a year ago in Minnesota. When you turn 11, you can get your gun safety. All that stuff was canceled. So we kind of had a year behind us, and we decided to go camp up on the farm and turkey hunt. What about this time of year gets you? I mean, why does this game just enthrall us?
So, you know, and in all honesty, I grew up not turkey hunting. And it wasn't until, you know, several years back now, when a good friend of mine said, hey, you know what? Let's go out and see if you got turkeys around your farm. And like, I know we have turkeys. I see them all the time. He's like, well, let's go out and try and bag one of those toms. I'm like, oh, all right. I'm always game for a good hunt. And to be honest, Bill, when we first got out there, it was really quiet. It was a down morning. We didn't hear anything. And then, you know, later on in the evening is when he started calling, and then the toms, they were on their way back to the roost, and they were just gobbling back and forth. And I think at that moment is when I was hooked. It was I hear people say it all the time. It's the thrill of the hunt, the anticipation, right? That's what got me. Not to mention, you know, we've all been cooped up in the Minnesota winter, and it's one of the first things you can do as spring approaches, right?
Yeah. For me, that is one of my markers of spring, right? Being able to get out into the woods. And so we set up this great camp. We've got the tents, we've got the wall tent with the kitchen set up. You're a little high class, a little more high class than we are, because you've got the fish houses that you and Jackson are set up in. Jackson is your son. Brady is my oldest. We had my 10-year-old Bennett along too. And I love how we set up our game plan this year, noting that this is a story we wanted to document for the television show, Minnesota Bound. So you and I get up there on Thursday afternoon, get camp set up with the kids, and you and I are like little kids because we're so excited to go scouting.
Yeah.
Yes. Scouting is fun too.
Yes, exactly right. Yep. And we get camp set up and we finally get out onto the trails and we're looking for signs and we're looking for signs and we're really not seeing anything, are we, Bill?
Well, we're not seeing anything.
Nothing. I mean, there
or
is
hearing.
Or hearing. Anything. And at this time of the year, in years past, it was, you know, the hunt was on, and you'd see the birds out in the fields pecking away, and you'd see them running around, and you'd at least come across in the spots that we had gone to, you at least on the field roads, you at least come across tracks and signs and droppings, feathers, whatever, sounds from them traveling back and forth and communicating, right? And it was nothing. It was absolutely nothing.
All we could hear were the Amish buggies. Your farm is up in central Minnesota, surrounded by Amish farms. It is an unbelievable environment. Just so much fun watching the kids coming home from school in the buggies, you know, the families going down the country roads, and no gobbles. No birds on field edges,
nothing.
No sign in the woods, you know, nothing in the mud. And then we find a feather.
One single feather. And that wasn't the first time that we drove down that field road either. I think it was either a second or third pass down that one. I'm like, wait a minute, that wasn't here the last time we had gone down that road, right? And it just so happened to catch our eye and that looks like a turkey feather. Is this her first sign? And it just so happened to be by a collection of pines that was close to my grandparents' old house, where we know that they've roosted in those pine trees in the past. So I don't know if we had came across a recent feather that had just blown out of the woods, or if one had passed through there. But nonetheless, we found our first feather.
and it was clean. It had not been there for days. We had,
no,
you know, there was mud, there had been some rain, it wasn't worn. So we go back to camp that night, talk to the boys a little bit. There's no reason to get up in the morning and hunt early because the TV cameras aren't coming till after lunch. So we get out of bed early, let the boys sleep. It's a beautiful morning. We split up, we get in the woods, you take one section, I take another section, and I mean, you've got darn near a mile of property. It's insane. And we watch and listen to the woods wake up, and I hear and see nothing.
And it wasn't like it was a crystal clear morning too. You could hear a pin drop in the woods, and we heard absolutely nothing. I heard some owls,
which is bizarre because the week before you had been up there, the birds were around. We took the trail cam chips out, and there were like 800 photos on those three chips, and exactly 800 were deer. Not a single bird. So at this point, I'm thinking, oh my gosh, this story has become a bust. All we wanted to do is have the kids have that special moment. One of them would probably bag their first bird. What an incredible story for television. And now it's just gone to pot. So I call home and say, hey, we need to leave one of the photojournalists at home. There's no reason to bring two let's just get some sort of television story on spring and the Gerlach family turkey camp, and we'll call it good. And maybe that's Murphy's Law, right? As soon as you put the camera away, good things happen.
Yeah, that's always true. And maybe we should put them away more often. I don't know, but at the time you didn't know, because based on what we were seeing, that it was the right call. There was nothing around besides deer and a lot of deer, right? Yep. And we thought, well, maybe that's having some sort of impact on what we're seeing from a bird perspective, because, you know, there's a lot of deer around our area. There's actually probably too many deer, but this year the numbers are even higher than what I've typically seen up there. And, you know, it's always in the back of your mind, maybe that's having some sort of impact on the turkey population. I wouldn't think it would,
right?
But
right.
You never know.
Right. And we both hunted these birds for quite some time, and you feel confident, like this is the perfect setup, mix of crop, tilled, woods, you know, you've got everything they need. It's prime country. We know there are birds around, but it's like they're gone. So long story short, we hunt Friday night. We do a setup with the boys, which that's as long as I've ever been sitting in one spot. I think we were on the ground for 5 hours.
Yeah.
Just a wasteland on a piece of public. I mean, just super frustrating. We go back to camp. There's no reason to hunt in the morning because we're starting from scratch. We don't have any hint. So we tell photographer Pete, you might as well sleep in, which I think he was happy about. We told the boys they should sleep in. And you and I would go out one more time and scout.
And scout and see what we could come up with.
So that's where the story changes. But hang tight. First, we need to thank a few sponsors who help make the Minnesota Bound podcast, the stories behind the stories, happen. So it's time to welcome our newest sponsor to the Minnesota Bound podcast. You know, no doubt the world has been a crazy place lately, right? Busy work schedules, kids, coaching, travel, you know the routine. It all sometimes feels just too much. But you know what? I found my way to take some time and truly get away. I do it with our new Voyager sauna. Voyager builds custom saunas for your home, backyard, and business, and they are the only company building premier mobile units. They're on wheels. They are units that go anywhere you go. It's the pick of the Shirk family. Clear grade cedar benches, spray foam insulation, Kuma wood-fired stoves, or Hilo electric heaters. Finnish-influenced hand-built saunas that will last a lifetime. Constructed with care by the hometown Voyagers team. My wife and boys, believe me, they love our new mobile sauna. Voyager, a Minnesota movement influenced by Finnish culture. Visit voyagerssaunas.com and get ready to distress. Trust me, it works.
Hi, I'm Laura Shera, and do you really know what it costs to heat water at your home, cabin, or business? No? Well, we do. Based on data from the U.S. Department of Energy, the average annual savings for homes that heat their water with propane rather than electricity is $175. You can save energy and get 2.5 times as much hot water compared to the average electric water heater. Let's save energy and money with a cleaner, greener fuel. Propane, the right energy right now.
Also, a big-time sponsor that I'm excited to partner with, because it seems like I'm always hungry and the Shirk boys are always hungry. Don't forget, today is a day for adventure, and Cub Foods has all the Nabisco snacks you need to make your adventure delicious from start to finish, right? Life is just sweeter for the Shirk family when we share Oreo cookies on the trail, or when the kids crunch Ritz crackers at our favorite campsite. We also have been known to rock the boat with Ritz cheese crispers. So do me a favor and stop at your Cub store on the way to your next adventure. The great outdoors is calling, and that means we need to bring Nabisco snacks, which you and I had on our turkey hunt, Chad, along with the kids. So Chad Gerlach is my partner in crime today. Chad and I had our boys in the woods for a spring turkey hunt. Things are seeming pretty dire because we're like 2 days into this deal. Prime turkey habitat, the Gerlach family farm, which has had turkeys on it since turkeys were around. And we're just coming up empty. So we go out and scout our second morning. Again, we split up. We get out there well before sunrise. And I hear, I see nothing. Nothing.
There was nothing. Nothing to be seen or heard.
So I'm wondering what you're onto at that point. And so I'm just driving my Polaris Ranger around, just kind of randomly looking at the Amish farms and swinging by camp. No smoke from the campfire, so the boys are still asleep. And I knew you were down the dirt road a ways. So I head that direction. All of a sudden, I see you sitting in your machine.
Yeah, it was, like you said, it was an absolute dire morning. I was on the opposite end of the property that you were on. And this is an area that birds have been in for over a decade, right? And I gone there, just sat there and parked that morning when we had gone out. And, you know, I actually crow called out, nothing responded. I did hear a few more owls. I was actually wondering if I wasn't hearing you across the way. but there was nothing that morning. I didn't hear a sound out there. Again, it was like one of the previous mornings we had been out there. And then I sat there for a while and it's time to get back. Morning coffee time, right? And I'm coming, bringing the field road back, and out of the corner of my eye, caught a actually towards the road that you were coming down, caught a movement out of the corner of my eye. And sure enough, it was a hen, a gobbler. And there were two others back in the woods. And I think one may have been a Jake, another hen, but I knew there was a gobbler. And I stopped. I had my binoculars with, I just watched him for a minute or two. And I think I saw you coming down the road.
Yep. I get to the edge. I see what looks like a nice gobbler and maybe two hens with it. I'm getting old, right? My eyes stink. I can see you sitting up on the corner of the tree roll. I'm like, aha, Chad's watching them. But I was afraid to stop. So I did the old dumb, like, oh, if I just keep moving, they won't see me. And kind of drove down the road, turn around and race back to camp. Then you show up and we're banging on the tent, getting the boys up, and now we're all giddy, right?
Yep. We got to make a plan. We saw a gobbler. Everybody's excited. Kids are a little bit groggy, but soon to be excited. We got to make a plan.
Which we did. So when we document hunts for television, in the old days, the photojournalists would just set up on a little, you know, tripod camo chair with the camera on a tripod, and then we'd throw a big old sack of burlap over them. We've upgraded. Now that you have these nice pop-up blinds, we can set a photojournalist in a pop-up blind so they can have a little bit of movement and be able to get shots of birds coming in and hunters and all that. So we game planned. We figured, gosh, those birds were within a few hundred yards of where we found that feather, near those pine trees on the edge of the field. That was seemingly the roost spot. We agreed on that. So you and Jackson decided to set up there along with photojournalist Pete. And then Brady Bennett and I decided to set up, if I'm being honest, it wasn't a great spot for us only because we were on the top of a hill, a little bit naked out in the middle of a big field with just a couple of small trees behind us, right? So not completely camouflaged, and with bright sun shining, you're a little bit naked out there. But for me, that's part of the fun of turkey hunting, is trying to hide. And we set up for the evening hunt, and Ewan Jackson got settled. Brady Bennett and I got settled. And it was funny because I was using just a hen decoy. And I was looking at the tree line across the field, kitty corner from us, which, I don't know, 200 yards, 300 yards, something like that. And I thought, gosh, if those birds were to come out of those trees where we set that hen, I think it is too low. They would never see the decoy. So my 10-year-old, Ben Ashurk, who's all decked out in camo and has this bright orange mouth from sucking on Gatorades and runt candies, sneaks out to the decoy, moves that hen just a few feet up the hill where he thinks, you know, the head's sticking up so they can see it, gets it set perfectly. And I actually snapped a photo. It was so funny of him leaning over and patting that decoy on the head, kind of like, do your job.
Good luck. Good luck.
Sneaks back down to us and settles back in. And that was just such a great dad moment.
Well, you can tell they're enjoying it, right? It's like, come on, bring us luck, bring us luck, bring the turkeys in for us, right? And in the same, like when we had set up and when we were talking about making that plan, Bill, it was like, we're trying to figure out how we're going to position each other, right? And we had thought that those birds were going to remain in that tree line that we had seen them earlier. And
which is crazy because it's two trees wide and it backs up against an Amish farm with six buildings and horses out in a pasture, right? So
dogs, horses, you know, cats. We saw cats running up and down that tree line.
The black cat.
Yep. Yeah. So they're like, There's no way that those birds stayed in that tree line from, you know, from the time we had seen them that morning to where we got set up later. It had been several hours that passed, and you know the chances are they had moved on. But you know, we ended up positioning ourselves where we thought they would be, and yeah, to your point, you guys were really right out in the open. Yep. Jackson and I were able to tuck back with our blind. Back into the woods by those roosting trees where we thought they might come across that hayfield. I know they've come across that field in the past. I've actually seen them. But that's not the path they took this year.
Oh, you just gave it away. Something good's about to happen. Yes. So Bennett moves the decoy at 5 p.m. Sunset, I think, was at like 8:03.
Yep.
7 o'clock, Brady, who is going to be the shooter this year, is a little bit frustrated, loves turkey hunting, like has been uber patient, but I could hear in his tone that he was starting to give up a little bit. And I said, hey, look, buddy, sometimes you have to earn it. Sometimes it's not easy. And this is the way some hunts go, which when something good happens, will make it just that much sweeter. And he was buying into that when I looked towards the setting sun off to our right, and there up in the cut field, I can see a gobbler. And I'm like, son of a gun, he's coming down behind you guys.
Yes.
Where did this bird come from? Like, it's been a ghost town for 2.5 days.
And he did not... We had faintly heard him because, so to understand how Jackson hunts, he sleeps, he hears a gobble, he wakes up, right? And that's
pretty much how everyone hunts.
So he's sitting there and I kid you not, he's laid back and maybe even snoring. And all of a sudden I just faintly hear a gobble and he just perks up.
Wow.
And he's like, is that a gobble? I'm like, I think so. And then, Peppers. You know, we were trying to, you know, one of the things with turkey hunting, right? Patience is a virtue. Don't overcall, but how much should you call, right? It's that game of back and forth with the toms. So we had called a little bit and then he got louder. I'm like, well, maybe he's coming through the woods because behind us was that roosting woods, right? They typically will flow through there, but he ended up following a field road that was behind us a ways and stayed true to that field road.
Yep. So we hit the call. I do a couple of nice little yelps And he perks right up and instantly knows we're there. And I said to the boys, do not move. The bird is coming. All right, we'll finish this tale in just a second. But first, I'd like to thank a few more of the sponsors that help make this podcast happen each week. You know, one of our biggies is our good friends at Kinetico Water. It's no secret, the Shirks love Kinetico. We live out in the country, and like you, Chad, you know, we've dealt with that ironclad well water in the country. But we treat our water with the Kinetico Whole Home Water Treatment System, and we also use the Kinetico K5 drinking water system. You know, that white buildup you get around faucets, we have pretty much eliminated that completely. You know, the dishes are clean. Katie loves what the water does for her hair and her skin. And I've been on a big kick lately because I noticed the Shirk boys, whenever they go and get their gear on to get ready for hockey or soccer, like packing their gear in the truck, they come inside and make darn sure they've got their water bottles and that those bottles are full of Kinetico water. It's pretty interesting because they've done that on their own. They love Kinetico water. Our whole family does. Do me a favor. Call Kinetico. Do like the Shirks did and look forward to clean, safe water. Also, I'd like to thank Caldwell Banker Realtor Heather Womack.
Hi, Minnesota Bound podcast listeners. I'm Realtor Heather Womack. I grew up in Minnesota and love all the outdoor activities we have here. In fact, I love Minnesota so much that I moved back here from Europe to raise my family in the land of beautiful hikes, refreshing clear lakes, and winter fun. That's why I'm reaching out to the listeners of the Minnesota Bound podcast. As a realtor, I've helped hundreds of folks buy their first home, sell the home they have, purchase a lake cabin, or start investing in Minnesota real estate. If you love adventure but need some new scenery, call me. My website is heatherwomackrealty.com. That's Heather Womack, W-O-M-A-C-K, realty.com.
And also, we can't forget the Minnesota Department of Natural Resources.
Minnesota's wildlife management areas are a vast array of lands all across Minnesota. These 1,440 wildlife management areas are valued not only for wildlife, but also for Minnesota's outdoor recreation opportunities. They maintain hunter walking trails, plant food plots for wildlife, and develop acres and acres of prairie and grasslands. To find out more, go to mndnr.gov/WMAS.
Okay, so our turkey hunt is getting intense after darn near, 2.5 days of nothingness.
Yep.
Chad Gerlach and I have our sons in the woods. We are set up, we were probably, 300 yards apart from each other?
Yeah, at least 300 yards, yes.
Kind of kitty corner on this big alfalfa field. There was some tilled soil there, and I've just been telling Brady that, hey, sometimes hunts don't go as planned, sometimes they're a bust, and all of a sudden a gobbler starts coming. So we get that thing down to about 80 yards.
So
he's getting close, but he hangs up, which isn't unusual. Sometimes gobblers are hung up out from you. But we had set up on this knoll of this hill out in the middle of the field with a couple of scrap trees behind us. And there were low areas on both sides, almost like two natural funnels heading to the big woods behind us. And we thought, well, if anything was coming this direction, they're going to go down those two funnels, one of those two. So that was a good play. So that bird goes down the funnel to the right of us and is just hung up. It's now down behind us. It's still gobbling. I'm doing my best to not call too much. In fact, kind of stay quiet, make them want to come. Mm-hmm. It's close enough that we can't move, right? Can't bat an eyelash. So the boys are doing a fantastic job. They're just stoic and still. And as I turn my head to the left, I see that tree line straight across from you guys and kitty corner from us. And darned if there aren't two birds there. Too far away, I can't tell. I can't get the binoculars up because they're coming right at us. And they can see that darn decoy that little Bennett Shirk had set out. And in, 3 minutes, They covered 200 or 300 yards and got right to us. You could not see those birds, correct?
No. And it's funny because the fields that you're describing, they're rolly fields like that, right? And when you're tucked down low like that, it just takes a small little knoll, and you can't, and when they're crouched down running and walking, you just can't see them going across there. Yeah. And they blend in so well with those tilled corn and soybean fields that Jackson and I, we didn't see anything coming across there. The only thing that we knew was going on is that there was a gobbler behind us, and he was getting louder and louder, and we knew he was in your general direction. So we're sitting in our blind, just overcome with excitement and anticipation too. understanding how difficult it is for Brady and Bennett probably you too, Bill, to stay still of where you're at in your ground, your ground blind that you have there.
Yep. So it's a Jake and a hen, a nice Jake. So we're able to whisper just a little bit. Again, we're out in the open. We're not in a blind. We've got a little, throw up tarp in front of us with some brush, but that's for me part of the fun. The boys stay completely still. We're able to whisper a little bit and hey, and I have this amazing conversation with my 12-year-old. Dad, it's a Jake. Should I pass on it? Well, I don't know, buddy. It's been kind of a slow hunt. You know, you're trying to shoot your first bird. This is a wonderful bird. It's your decision, but you shouldn't feel bad about it. What do you think? Meanwhile, the bird comes inside of the hen decoy. So it comes right towards us, and every once in a while stop. And, you know, they're kind of goofy when they're walking and dopey and sticks its head up. It's kind of looking like, is there something there? But never gets really concerned. It was just an amazing moment, and it turned its back to us, and it fanned up a little bit nicely, and then it went to the hen. And it was funny because I was thinking, oh my gosh, this thing's going to go attack the decoy. The boys are going to get a show. You know, meanwhile, Brady's sitting next to me, his gun's up. He had whittled out a tripod and lashed it together to rest his shotgun on. So he's sitting there, and I'm thinking, they're going to get to see the kaboom. Bird goes down. Brady made the decision and dropped this bird, which, again, we're far apart from you guys, but apparently you know exactly what's going on.
We're sitting right. Actually, when Brady fired, you could feel it. Right. You could just feel it travel across the fields there. And I perked up and I look at Jackson, and Jackson's eyes are about, well, they're like dinner plates. Right. It was a single shot. So we were assuming bird was down. But we had no idea what had come over to you guys. If it was the gobbler that was behind us, if it was the, you know, what else had come in from over on the tree line. We had no idea. We just knew that there was a shot. There's a lot of excitement with the calling that had gone on with that gobbler back and forth. We're just sitting there. We couldn't really contain ourselves. It's almost like we had to get out immediately and come over and see what was going on.
And here's what's amazing about Minnesota Bound, the television show. I'm a television producer. I'm a storyteller. So in my mind, I'm thinking, son of a gun, I tell the photographer to stay home and this plays out just beautifully. We missed it. But photographer Pete is with you guys. He comes over, you know, y'all come racing over in your Ranger and hop out. And we have this unbelievable moment with the boys jumping and hugging, and this bird is down. And Pete looks at me and says, darndest thing, what a great moment. I was rolling on Jackson and his dad, when all of a sudden there was a gunshot, and their eyes were wide as anything, and they went, what in the world? Right, like it played out perfectly. So now we have this great television story on kids falling asleep and hunts seem to never go as planned, and then all of a sudden, kapow, and bird, right? It's the magic of storytelling. And together, the Gerlachs and the Shirk got that moment. And that is what is so profound for anyone who loves being outdoors, right? Those boys jumping and hugging, it didn't matter if Bennett or Brady or Jackson or whomever shot the bird, like we're all in it together. It's one team, one play.
Yeah, and I think, and to me, I think that was probably that was by far the best part of the weekend. Aside from everybody getting to spend time together, coming up and enjoying the farm, and we got an awesome picture of the three boys out in the middle of that alfalfa field with the sun kind of behind us holding up that bird. And it's just all three of them grin from ear to ear, right? Brady coming down from the adrenaline rush that he had out there. And as soon as we opened up the blind to come over there to see what was going on, Jackson took off running over the ranger. Pete and I had to run to catch up to him. So he was just excited to come and see what had happened.
So the story is a positive. We got our bird. We got our television story. The kids got to target shoot and use bow and arrows and start campfires and camp out, see the stars. Your parents showed up. They made the most unbelievable milk can stew. Yeah. And we watched spring in Minnesota happen.
Yeah, we did. The milk can stew is an interesting one. It's absolutely delicious. Ever get a chance, just Google to see what that is. But it's an awesome mixture of all kinds of vegetables and stuff.
Old farming tradition, right? You take the old milk can, the big old classic milk cans that the raw milk goes into, and you put it on the fire with broth and potatoes and kielbasa and chunks of ham and your favorite cabbage, and that just sits on the fire all day.
Careful there, the cabbage. That's exactly right. It's the old milk carrying cans that we used to use, and actually I remember them from when I was really young, and we still have a couple that are around today. And that's exactly right. It's ham, kielbasa, a bunch of vegetables, and we could leave the cabbage out, but actually it does give it a good flavor. But it's just, if you have a big crew, you can just throw it together, throw it on the fire, leave it alone, and by the time you get back from what you're doing, it's ready for everybody to eat. It's one of the family favorites.
So we went back and celebrated, and the best part, people will get to see this story on video next spring on Minnesota Bound. And more importantly, I feel like you and I have started a new tradition.
To me, that hands down is the number one best thing out of this, because you can just see the excitement on our faces, how much fun we had. Even when we didn't see signs of bird, it was still fun to be outside, outdoors, hanging out, trying to scout for birds. But then, you know, seeing the younger boys, how much fun they had, they're going to want to come back, and they're always more than welcome to come back up with us.
The other part of this, where we started, you and I coach hockey together.
Yes.
The kids are competitive. Any sport takes up a great amount of time for a child or a young athlete, but hockey in this state just is out of control.
Yes.
And unless you as a family, you know, make the decision to say no to sports, a lot of people lose out on these valuable experiences. And it's funny because you and I both said, we're going to skip AAA hockey, we're going to skip soccer, we're just going to go do this. And when you think about the 3.5 days we had together, it's just unbelievable. And I'm so happy that we got to share it. And for us, what we love, we are now passing on to our kids. Jackson's going to get his bird. Jackson's got a little brother, well, a little sister too.
Yep.
They're going to be shooting turkeys at some point. I just have this gut feeling. Bennett Shirk, the younger of our boys, he's going to want to go back to camp, right? We need to start planning for next year.
We do. We do. We're probably already late, Bill. Yeah. Well, indeed.
In a time of COVID, when things got screwed up, What a weekend to be together and just share the fun, and certainly appreciate you and your family allowing us to be a part of your tradition. And that's why we do this stuff. It's just so much fun to be outdoors, and you just never know what's going to happen.
No, you don't. And that's, you know, that's exactly what we were looking for. It's good friends, good times, good memories. You know, there's nothing that's better than that, right? It's not something that you can buy. It's just something that you have to experience.
We've got meat in the freezer. We have a fan drying on the blocks out in the outpost. We have some turkey feet drying as well. And I have a 12-year-old walking around the house. When are we going to eat the turkey? Can we eat the turkey tonight? When are we going to eat the turkey? And that's what it's all about. Chad, thanks so much. What a great story. And we've got more ahead. Maybe next year we'll be waxing about our next one.
I love it. Thank you, Bill.
Thank you, everyone, for listening to the Minnesota Bound podcast, the stories behind the stories, presented by Kinetico Water Treatment Systems. My family uses Kinetico. I think yours should, too. Also, again, a big welcome to our newest sponsor, Voyager Saunas. Also, Oreo cookies and Ritz crackers. I love Nabisco. The Minnesota Department of Natural Resources. The Minnesota Propane Association. Caldwell Banker Realtor Heather Womack, and the Minnesota Lottery. Thanks so much for listening. We will see you back here next week. And in the meantime, as Chad and I experienced, do not ever forget to introduce a kid to the great outdoors.